Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. Going to preview the 2025 RBC Heritage for your DraftKings lineups this week. Going to recap one of the best golf weekends in a long, long time at the Masters and much more. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Not as good as you. I hit a massive parlay and all, but... Yeah, doing well.
Both legs look sketch for a long time. Yes. Florida had to come back late. And Rory had to avoid the meltdown of the century. So, but yeah, we cashed it. So I'm glad of that. But yeah, what a weekend, man. Just insane.
Yeah, pretty wild stuff. I was watching from my phone most of the time because of work and other shenanigans, but luckily, as they replayed it a million times at night, so I got to catch up on most of it via television, and I watched the entire final round last night while doing work in my office, and yeah, just pure theater is the best way I could put it. There was, no matter who you're rooting for, what day it was just entertainment everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I felt like a lot of people were rooting for Rory. I mean, like, throughout his whole career, I've not been a big Rory guy.
Me neither.
You know, I mean, I think we've, you know, we've, how long have we been doing this?
A long time. I want to say it's like 7 years now. It's been a while.
And I don't remember one time where I was like this heavy on Rory McIlroy and like this sure that he was going to compete and win. You know, obviously it happened. So it was a little bit of a different feeling because I think I've rooted for him a lot more than I rooted against him a lot more than I've rooted for him, but. Yeah, from the start, man. I mean, he starts, he was 4 under through 14 and then made double on 15 on Thursday, which, you know, I'm pretty sure they redid that green because those guys did not realize how hard that green was. If you watched any of the Thursday coverage, most of them were over the back. And some of them were flirting with like going in the water on 16. Yeah, I mean, that had to catch him by surprise. I know there was some rain earlier in the week, and I don't know what they did to 15, but they dried it out. So it played a lot more difficult than what it normally does. It's normally a decently easy birdie hole, but anyways, he makes double there, and then another double on 17. And I thought for sure he was cooked because you look at the trends over the last however many years. You have to be inside the top 10 after the first day in order to win. Yep. You can't make more than one double. He made 4 for the week, but he made 2 on Thursday. But it was a hell of a bounce back, man. I mean, you know, Friday, Saturday were just, you know, overall solid rounds for him. And, you know, a lot of people chirping in my ear about him choking this away on like for the whole entire time between Saturday and Sunday rounds. And I just thought he was, I just thought it was different for him. And then he comes out, makes double on the first hole and gives up the lead immediately. So, yeah, it was the wildest roller coaster, the funnest golf tournament I've ever watched. Not just because I had money on Rory. I mean, obviously I won money last year on Scotty, but he won by 15,000 shots and made, you know, 3 putt the last hole and it didn't matter. But just from the pure, like just watchability of that golf tournament. I think it's number one, it's second to none just because the holes, every hole is just so good. The greens are so good. There's not a bad lie on the fucking property. Scotty did get a bad lie on 8 on Thursday when he hit it right of 8. He ended up in a divot somehow, but I didn't see anybody else in a divot the whole entire week. I think they do a really good job of moving the tees around to where those divots from previous days don't come into play. Or maybe they just fucking grow grass so fast there. I don't know what it is, but either way, the birdie on 3, the birdie on 4 were incredible birdies by Rory. And I thought by the time we got to 13 there and he was up by 4, one of my buddies was texting me like, man, you know, I'm happy for Rory and I'm happy for you guys, talking about me and this other guy who had Rory tickets. But I just wish we could have some drama for once in these events. And it wasn't 2 seconds later, he fucking hit that shot on 13 into the creek.
Yep.
I just don't even understand how like that happens. But then the shot on 15 is the best golf shot I've ever seen in my life.
It's insane. Absolutely insane.
I mean, when he hit it behind the tree, I was like, oh, fuck, he's going to have to lay up now. And his wedge game.
Well, it's like it's happening. Okay. He's doing it. You're going to have this storyline continue. So it's
going to feel. I mean, like, I was just like, oh, no, dude. Because as soon as he hit the tee shot on 15, I knew it was too far left. I mean, you just know on the lines there. You've watched this golf course so much. And hell, I watched it for 3 days straight, nonstop. And, it gets behind the tree over there. And I, you know, the last thing I wanted him to do was hit another wedge shot over water.
Exactly.
But that shot, I mean, the shot he hit on Saturday was insane. Mm-hmm. And he actually made that putt. And if he made the putt on 15 on Sunday, then he wins the golf tournament. But just the shot in general, just, I mean, literally the best shot I've ever seen in my life. And then he follows it up. Well, and that was after seven. You remember seven, the shot he hit over the trees?
Yes. Insane.
I just don't understand how you go from that to hitting a shot on 13. And then 17 was an insane, insane fucking second shot. And then
that approach shot was nuts.
How do you put it in the bunker on 18?
Yeah. It's well,
we've seen the wedge in your hand again.
Yeah. Like basically all you got to do is give yourself a shot.
Green. You get it on the green. I mean, that's not that pin is not terrible unless you're probably like short of it. And nobody's short of it because it's hard to get a ball short of it. But if you're behind it, you just lag it down there and it just kind of feeds down toward the hole. And he didn't hit a bad bunker shot, but you know just well as I do, a 5-footer with the Masters on the line.
You'd hear my knees through the TV screen.
There's probably two guys in the world making that. One's Tiger, and he don't have an ACL or Achilles or whatever he lost. And then Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
You know, so, but the second shot on the drive and the second shot in the playoff were just stone cold, just ice.
Yeah. After feeling like he just basically gave it away for going to the playoff, he goes out there and just throws some of the best golf shots we saw the entire time. It was wild. Yes.
I mean, it's just the second shot is an insanely good shot after just doing. I mean, it's the same shot. Obviously, these guys are so good. You give them the same shot twice. Like if they were playing one man scrambles, they'd birdie almost every hole. But, you know, it's basically what happened for him right there. And I'm glad that he remembered not to actually hit the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I think that he was trying to guide that first one, the one on 18, the first time too much. And that the shot on 13 as well. But I mean, overall, dude, you couldn't ask for a better golf tournament. I'm really happy for Rory to finally get that monkey off his back. And I've seen it said a lot, you know, that I think this really could catapult him into a Scotty type of year.
The whole time I was watching the final round, especially, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, well, we saw Scotty do last year. It feels like that's what we're about to get.
You know, I was looking, Rory. Dude, I forgot how insane Scotty's run was last year.
Won the Heritage after the Masters.
I know. I was, dude. So he starts at the API first the Players, second in Houston, wins the Masters, then wins the Heritage. Like with the notion always coming in this tournament is these guys are spent, you know, like he just, but you know, Rory, I would definitely play that card this year if he was playing. And obviously, like you said, he's already withdrawn, but Scotty last year, it was obviously it's not completely stress-free when you're at the Masters, but I mean, he won that golf tournament.
It's about as stress-free as you can get, for sure.
Right. So yeah, man, I mean, I can't say enough about how cool it was. And like, I've never been that nervous for, I mean, I've got a $15 bet here. It's not the end of the world. If Rory doesn't win, I mean, obviously I would like to win, but I was just more nervous. I've never been that nervous for a player on the golf course besides myself.
Yeah, no, it was definitely good to see it finally happen. Cause I'm just sitting there the whole time going, he's going to blow this. It's like, we've seen this too many times. Here it is. And nope.
There were so many people chirping, dude, in my texts. So many.
Yeah, because I think a lot of it goes back to, like you said, you used to not be a Rory guy. I wasn't a Rory guy. He's kind of, you know, Morikawa's kind of starting to fill that role right now where it's just wham, wham, wham. Like, just really, really good golfer. But like all of a sudden, when Rory started just talking normal to the media and kind of being a normal dude, and you could kind of root for him a little more.
Yeah.
And there's something to that.
Yeah.
And Morikawa is starting to do the opposite. He's just like, you know what? Screw you guys. Like, I hate talking to all of you. And yeah, so that's
a lot. Jordan Spieth bitching about the mud balls.
Dude, was it Friday when Spieth's in the tree and he says something and Geller goes, get over it.
Yeah.
Just like, these two are the odd couple, like the best combo.
No, but somebody Spieth needs to talk to them like that.
You see Spieth give a nut shot to a fan?
Yes, I did.
Dude, Spieth is,
I mean, like he tapped him too, bro. Like,
oh, it was a good whack.
Yes.
It wasn't like a tap. It was a boom.
I mean, yeah. He got him. Yeah,
oh, direct was, hit.
Dude was about like Rory on 18 after he made the putt. Just didn't get to double over. Yeah.
No. Spieth's turned, like, for any wrestling fans, he's going full heel right now. He's embracing the cranky bad guy right now.
You know, the storylines are so, I mean, we haven't even mentioned Bryson. The fact that Bryson was there. You know, everybody thought this was his tournament to lose because Rory's going to choke it away. And what does Bryson do? Like, we're not going to talk about Bryson, the fact that he choked it away. Now, I will say I saw that coming with Bryson because he couldn't hit long irons. And you know, yep. you have to be able to hit long irons around that place. Mm-hmm. And he was, for whatever reason, hooking the absolute shit out of everything and could not fix it, which surprised me. I mean, like, it's hard to fix it obviously over one day, but from Saturday to Sunday there was not much improvement.
No, it was not. That's why he was on the range nonstop. Like,
that's why he hit over 1,000 balls. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he always does more after the rounds, but not to that extent. That was like you could see him grinding there's a lot of gears shifting in his head.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and he made a comment afterwards about how, you know, he didn't realize how fast the greens were going to be because this is like his first time in a final group. But I mean, last year he wasn't in the final group, but he was in the last three or four going out, wasn't he?
Yeah, something like that. I think a lot of it also goes to the point you made earlier. Is they redid four of those greens. I remember watching Thursday 15, the way they're skipping off the back. It was freaking
15. 15 was definitely, like, that was a shock to those guys.
And, like, you just barely chip it on and it rolls all the way off. Like, you had no chance to hold it at all.
Yes.
And then I was shocked because, like, if I see that the first day, I know I'm a pro and I can, you know, make all those shots, but to me, I'm laying up and wedging it as close as I can.
That's why your boy ZJ had such good.
Such sometimes good not shot. Over. Sometimes not overpowering a field is a good thing. My boy ZJ, I'm gonna remember that. Okay,
I'm with you. But the problem is with that with Rory. Like, what would you rather Rory have? A wedge in his hand or a 7-iron?
That's true. Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Because I totally get your point, but like, you know, and you can. When you have that much control over your long irons, you can land it on the front and let it just roll back, which the shot Saturday was insane by Rory. The shot Sunday was even more insane.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, we could talk about this for the storylines for hours. Patrick Reed ends up being the low live player.
Holes out, and the video is the most P Reed thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know.
Like, where'd the ball go? Where's that? Like, don't act like you don't know what in the goddamn pin. Like, that was the most P Reed thing I've ever seen.
And like, that was after 3-jack in 13. Like, I mean, some of the worst putts I've ever seen.
Yep. Yeah. Someone tweeted out, like, if he just makes the first putt, he's in the playoff.
Yes. Yeah. And then it's game on. You know what I mean? Like, you got to beat two dudes, and one of them is Patrick Reed, who has zero fucks to give because he's already won one.
And he's like, I'm going back to make more millions of dollars no matter what happens right about now. Not a care.
Money don't matter to him at this point. It's just more of the prestige. But yeah, Rahm looked okay. He bounced back on the weekend after barely making the cut. I'm sure you saw the Brooks trunk slam.
Yeah. On 18. Well, there were so many because I can't remember what I was doing Friday afternoon. I was watching it for a while. I had to go do something. And I was like, okay, like, Sepp's going to make the cut.
Sepp Straka, bro. I don't even want to talk about him.
I have an 80% of my lineup, so I'd rather not talk about him either. but I look at that. I saw Brooks, Sepp. There's like four other guys. Like, they all shot 3 to 4 over in the final two holes.
Yeah.
What the hell just happened?
Well, Phil did too. I mean, like, he was comfortably within, and then just the back nine just shit himself on Friday. I don't know.
Absolutely crazy stuff. But that's that course, man. I know most of us already think of it. It's the perfect golf course because it's just like, if you play well, you hit your spots, you're more often than not going to get rewarded. If you take too many chances, you're probably going to get burned. That's just the brass tags. I think it's pretty I wish they were all that way, but obviously they're all not going to be like Augusta.
So. Right. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, that it is a great risk reward golf course from the fact that you will get rewarded if you hit a good shot, and you will get penalized if you hit a bad one, without even really having to have much water or, you know, like wooded area. I mean, obviously there's woods, but if you hit it in the woods there, you can still get it out and get it around the green at least. Or just hit it over the trees like Rory did on 7 and somehow almost hole it out. So yeah, it's such a great golf course. It's insane. One question that was posed to me this weekend was, how much would you pay to play Augusta?
I remember, like, didn't we talk about it? There's rumors like 10 grand can get you on at Augusta.
And I don't know if I've ever talked about that with you. I've never heard that.
There was something around, like, a poll, like, would you play, like, because Augusta's looking to open it up, like, not every day, but a couple of days a month or whatever. Like, so you'd have to get on a waiting list. The starting number people were guessing was like 10 grand. I'm like, I can't justify 10 grand, even though I'd love to do it.
I think 10 would probably be low for them, to be honest with you. Like, why would you do it for like less than like 25? You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
at least for the first couple of years until everyone's kind of had enough. And they're like, okay, now we'll come back to get the common folks in here.
Right. Yeah. But that they'll just never do that. JJ Watt played it today. I don't know if you saw that or not.
I saw his tweet shot like 103. Dude, I would die for a 103 at Augusta.
Pretty respectable after those with the Sunday pin conditions. And
I've seen him play golf. He ain't that good.
No.
So like that's pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was the other thing I was thinking, like just watching someone like when they chip it off the green or they know the slopes when they hit a putt, they're staring the other direction and all these things that like Dan Patrick always said when he played, you need a caddy and you listen to everything he says. Don't even argue with them because they'll tell you it. But I'm just watching these guys. I'm like, I would be lucky to break 120, and I'm a bogey golfer. like this is bad.
I think especially Thursday. I think Thursday it played the hardest of any of the days. And I think I would have on Thursday from the back tees especially. You know, obviously he played up. He played on the members tees or whatever JJ Watt did. That's where everybody plays when they're not, you know, obviously professionals. But from those back tees with people around you, like, I think if I broke 110, I would have been pretty happy about it on Thursday.
Yeah, because you're actually a good golfer, so that checks out.
It just depends on the day of the week. But, like, playing around all those people and having, you know, I mean, just those conditions, it was pretty crispy on Thursday. They got a little bit of rain, and it softened it up a little bit, but they still have the ability to obviously dry it out. So, I tell you what, the next three majors are going to have – I hope we have – half of the drama that we had in the Masters, man. I mean, it could be a great year for the majors. I hope it is, where we got some drama coming down the stretch. So,
well, as long as Bryson's in the mix, there will always be good drama.
It's very true.
Always. And he fits the mold.
Storyline.
Yeah. And for the US Open, the PGA Championship, he should always be in the mix.
PGA's at Quail Hollow, correct?
Yeah. Yes. So him and Rory could be dueling once again for like three out of the last four majors.
I mean, that golf course just, it sets up pretty well for both of them. And then Marion is the US Open,
which is another pretty much bombit and gouge type golf course for the most part.
And then the Open Royal Championship is at Portrush, which is in Northern Ireland.
Yep, so Rory won't have anything to worry about there, right?
That's crazy, man. I mean, what if he does it, dude? That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome to see.
Like, I'm rooting for Rory. It'd be great. There's like you said, there's a lot of good storylines because Scotty's still playing really good golf, and he's just kind of not getting talked about anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play worth a fuck in our eyes, but yet still finished inside the top five last week.
Like eight under. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. Like, that'll work. Rosie's 44 keeps hanging around. I don't think we mentioned it. His approach shot in the playoff hole was freaking ridiculous. And Rory just puts it inside of his. It was just like,
but,
like,
you know, that
Rose didn't play bad.
No. Rose about holed it out. But that's the difference in, you know, driving distance, man. You know, Rory's got a wedge in there. He can spin it back. And I think Rose has probably hit an seven or eight iron.
Probably.
Yeah. And isn't able to, you know, spin it as much. So, yeah, I mean, we haven't talked about Justin Rose, who's finished second in the last two majors.
Yep. To your point with storylines, there's a ton of them. Not to mention there's going to be guys fighting for Ryder Cup spots here as we get closer to the end.
And our team looks awful.
Oh, yeah. I saw that tweet today. I think Kevin quote tweeted it. Don't walk to bet the Euros right now. Yeah, he's not wrong. That is a horrific Ryder Cup team for U.S. standards.
You know, even if we bring in Bryson and Brooks, I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's everyone's like, oh, it's New York. It's the big course. Our bombers will take advantage. I don't know right about now. Look at that roster. That ain't pretty. Long ways to go, but not
right.
Pretty.
And you got Rory playing the best golf right now of anybody in the world.
Yep. And like Hatton's not playing bad. Rahm will figure it out, I'd imagine. Like they're
Lowry.
Lowry's playing great.
Shot 81 on Sunday, but you know, he played really well for the first 3 days. I don't know what happened. They didn't show one shot of his on Sunday. I have no idea.
He was in the top five. Well, it's the same thing I heard. Sungjae finished fifth and then get one shot shown. So
they did show Sungjae holding out once.
He did. Oh, when he held out. Well, that's bad, though, when he only shots a hole out. It's like, come on, give the guys
some. No, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. I mean, there's a lot to bitch about with their coverage because they just have such a grip on it because every other tournament this whole entire year, we can watch the first tee shot. Why can I not watch the first tee shot at Augusta?
It is kind of strange, but yeah.
Why do I have to wait till they get to hole four before I can start watching the guys play? You know, like that to me, there's only 87 of them. It's not like, you know, the cameras are already there. They're already recording. What are we doing, Augusta?
It's a good question. Figure it out. It's not like you don't have any money. No,
I mean, they could do it. They just don't do it for whatever reason. I don't know if it's just to keep it more prestigious or I don't know. To piss people off, maybe, who knows? But they don't do it. They're not going to do it, apparently.
No, they have to do it. It's like they still have to call it, you know, the what's the closing nine?
Yes.
Everyone's a patron.
It's the second nine.
Second you have to call people
patrons. Like, yes. It's the first nine, the second nine, yeah.
That was one of the good things about some of the Shambly interview I heard this past week is he listed off all the things they have to say or they basically can't be on the air. I'm like, that is insane. Like, that's some privileged shit right there, folks.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
that is get with the times is the way I look at
that. The fact that you have to, you have to dictate what your announcers say, it's just like, you can't be more pretentious than that, which, whatever.
I'm not surprised with the ghost. Like, the course is great. Yeah. There's a lot of things about the rest of it that can be up for debate if anybody wants at that point in time.
I agree.
All right, like you said, we could pretty much keep talking about this the entire
only 20 minutes.
Yeah, and we could have gone a lot longer.
Still
could
go,
because it was pretty freaking awesome. And yeah, like you said, if we just get like a fraction for the other events this year, that'd be outstanding stuff. But let's get into it. Let's talk RBC Heritage. It was a great tournament in the past. Now it's an elevated event, so it's still good, but not what it used to be at Harbortown. We've been here plenty, my friend. So what do you got for us?
Yeah, last year, Scottie Scheffler, we already mentioned this, won 1,900 three shots over Sahith, and that was after winning the Masters. And winning two of his last three events, just an insane run for Scott. I don't think you understand it until you look back on it. How insane!
It's nuts.
The run was. Matt Fitzpatrick was the 2023 champion, 17-under in a playoff over Jordan Spieth. 2022 was Jordan Spieth, 13-under in a playoff over Cantlay. Stewart Cink won this for the third time in 2021. First two times were 2000 and 2004, so only 17 years between. Wins there, but 19-under, four shots over Griot and HV3. 2020 was Webb Simpson, 22-under, one shot over Answer. CT Pan was the 2019 champion, 12-under, one shot over Kuchar. Wes Bryan, now of YouTube fame, was a past winner here. YouTube
fame.
That's pretty much, Kuchar won this tournament in 2014. He's in the field this week. That's pretty much all that matters.
All right, we are going to Harbortown, a tournament, a golf course we know a ton. It's over in Hilton Head, South Carolina, I believe, if I'm doing that correctly.
Right. You're correct.
Par 71, a little over 7,200 yards. It's a Pete Dye design, which there's always the Pete Dye specialist, but they're called specialists because Pete Dye has a lot of dog legs. It's also basically, you need to hit the ball here. You can't really take advantage of the golf course type situation. He has a lot of illusions when you're looking at shots until you get to play more. There's sloping involved. There'll be trees in the way. There's tree line fairways. He makes you basically have to hit it here to approach it in, and still gettable golf course. But if you're a little wary of the targets, you could be in a little bit of hurt in this one. It has three par fives, 11 par fours, and four par threes. The par threes are all over 190 yards. Most of your approach shots, like all of them, will be pretty much within 100 and 200 yards. Most will be 150 to 200 is what we're looking at here. The greens are primarily Bermuda with a little bit of Poa involved, but they're the second smallest greens on tour behind Pebble Beach. So it's another reason why it's like, okay, you got to hit your spot in the fairway because your approach needs to be pretty darn accurate to hit those greens. Otherwise, you have to have phenomenal scrambling involved in this. The rough isn't too penal. There is a little bit of rough, but it's not too penal. It's about 1.5 to 2 inches. You don't have to drive it here. Obviously, it's a shorter golf course. Water comes into play on 9 holes, but really only comes into play on like 6 holes, unless you're really wayward in that regard. But for the most part, you know, it's the lighthouse everyone remembers about Harbortown. It's a course I'd love to play because I think it's pretty darn just cool layout, cool setup. Anybody can compete here because of the distance, and you don't have to hit a driver off the tee. So that's why I'm bummed that it's an elevated event now, because I used to enjoy watching just like randos showing up here and shooting 12 under and competing, and that does not exist as much anymore. What kind of stats are you looking at this week?
You can play Harbortown, but I think it is like $600 or $700 around now.
That's how most of these PGA courses are, unfortunately.
It's just insane, dude. Insane. Yeah.
That's why I was still pumped when I played Torrey and it was $170. Yeah. I thought I was I didn't know what the price was. I'm like, I'm meeting my buddy, I'm gonna play, whatever. Thought I was gonna get screwed. They told me the price of the register, and I'm like, with for one, right? And yeah, okay, sounds good.
Well, you know, like the golf course of Houston, which is or golf club of Houston, whatever, which is where they used to play the Houston Open, it's like $186. It's open to the public. And then Memorial Park in Houston as well is like in the $100 to $200 range as well. So like those are decently priced courses, but like this is more resorty, yes. More like Pebble, more like a Pebble
isn't
type
like,
of
isn't like Hilton Head area, isn't this where like that like that Netflix show of like the kids on the coast or whatever the heck is?
No, that's Outer Banks. That's in North Carolina. But so, it's yeah. similar.
Okay, it's that's kind of what I was thinking. So they're probably getting the tourists and that whole.
You know, oh, they're definitely. It's a big time tourist deal. I mean, it's for more rich, high end tourists. Hilton Head is, but yeah, they get plenty of those type of people. What am I looking at as far as stats? Greens and regulation, driving accuracy, birdie or better, plenty of course history and scrambling. You know, the thing about Pete Dye is like I think you mentioned it, like a lot of illusions. Yeah, he tries to mind fuck you. Like you think a green should be going back to front, but it's actually front to back. And it's just, that's pretty much how Pete is. So like a lot of people hate it because it's different golf than your traditional layouts most of the time. But yeah, here you just got to be able to keep it in between the trees and then, you know, hit the greens and scramble when you don't.
Yep. I'm with you. Scramble. You're going to need to get plenty of pars, but plenty of birdies as well, but definitely it's going to be tough to the greens, get up and down, walk away, see what you can do here. Again, it's a no cut event. There's 71 golfers because it's Hideki and Rory have withdrawn and being elevated events. They usually don't have alternates at these deals. So we wait and see on those ones. Let's get to it. Let's talk DK for the week here. We have 2, 4, 5, 6 players over $10,000. 5 of them from $10,000 to $11,000. Scotty Scheffler's $13,100. So he's kind of in a tier of his own. Play him if you will. You can talk about him if you want. Otherwise, it's Ludwig at $11,000. Colin at $10,900. Xander $10,400. JT $10,200. Cantlay $10,000. What you looking at in this range?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Scotty, defending champion. He's having a down year, and you know, all he does is just make the cut and finish inside the top 5. So he is what he is. I think Colin, you know, the problem with Colin at this place is, can he make enough putts? Last year, he putted really well, finished 9th. Last week, the short game is what got him at the Masters. He hit the ball pretty well, but he just is not a guy who's going to get really super hot with the putter. But I thought if he could do well enough on the par fives, which he's, you know, was 5 under on the par fives last week, that he could be in the mix, and he just never could basically get a stretch going where he wasn't like going bogey birdie. So I think Colin's fine. Can't lay at 10,000, third, and second in his last 3 years here. If you go back to 21, he missed the cut there, but 2019, third, seventh, in 2018 and 2017, third. So he's never finished outside the top 10 if he's made the cut. I think he will be popular, but I think he's probably the guy that I would like just lean more towards up here just because of the – besides Scotty, just because of the course history, it's pretty immaculate.
Yeah, no, it's the top like couple tiers we're about to talk about here is I had a hard time really differentiating too much. Like Scotty, clearly, if you want to go there, then never going to argue that one. But I like Colin as well. He's second in my model, first in approach over the last 24 rounds in this field, second in opportunities gained, seventh in par fives. He's playing really good golf, like you say. He just couldn't completely put it all together. 14th last week, 10th at the Players, second at the API. So it's very good form. And you mentioned some of the history here, ninth, seventh, 4 years ago, it made at least five straight cuts. Obviously, this is no cut. So I like that. Xander's probably my favorite play, honestly, at 10-4, because he rates out 26 in the model. That's because he was working back from injury. So there's some kind of maybe blips in the radar. But even over the last 24 rounds, he's sixth in approach. He's eighth from 175 to 200, which is what you want to see. He played really well last week. He finished eighth at the Masters after a 12th at Valspar, after getting his feet wet at the Players and the API. So I think the form is coming in 18th and 4th the last 2 years here. So Xander's my top play in this range, but it's hard to ignore the Cantlay course history, which is nuts to me to see. Third, and second the last 3 years, even though, 36th of the Masters, 33rd of Valero. He rarely ever plays Valero, so I'll kind of wait there. 12th at the Players. Like Cantlay's always the guy that somehow whenever I don't like him, he comes in the top five. When I finally give in, he just shits the bed. But he's 38th in my model, so maybe that'll turn people off. His course history is ridiculous, though. So no problem if anybody wants to go there. I'm trying to avoid JT and Ludvig, so I'm just trying to be contrarian up here. Might regret it tremendously. But you can make a case for any one of these guys, so you got to pick your poison somewhere. 9K range, you got Corey Conners at 98, another great weekend at Augusta. Russell Henley at 97, Shane Lowry at 96, Fleetwood 94, Spieth 92, J-Day 91, Hovland 9,000. I have every guy checked off.
Yeah, it's hard not to like all of these guys. I agree with you, yeah. Dude. I mean, they all, every single one of them made, well, Henley did not make the cut last week. 79-68 for Henley. I don't know what happened on Friday or Thursday, but he was very popular and screwed over a lot of people. So going back to him, I don't mind a bit because he was playing pretty well coming into the Masters there and just had that, obviously, that one bad round. Connors, the course history is not great. 41st, 31st, 12th, 4th, the last 4 years. But, I mean, 8th last week, 18th Texas, 8th Valspar, 6th Players, 3rd Arnold Palmer. He's on quite the run. Lowry, terrible, absolutely trash Sunday, 81. I don't know what happened to him either. But, you know, his course history, again, not great. He did finish third here in 2022, ninth in 21. But the last 2 years, he's basically finished DFL of those who, you know, were still playing. I don't think there's been a cut here since 21, maybe 20.
Yes, for a couple years.
I don't remember the last time there was cut. Anyways, I think Lowry's fine. Fleetwood just, you know, he could at some point do something. And then Hovland, man, I mean, I was very surprised by Hovland last week. I did not have him playing as well as he did. He did not play very well on Sunday. Didn't play great on Saturday either, but he was in the mix for a little bit. And I think he's starting to get a little bit back of what he had a couple years ago, or I guess it was, I don't know. Remember the last time he played good golf? I guess it was probably 23. I think he's fine too. Jay Day, if you want to play him, sure. Spieth, all right. I wouldn't talk you out of any of these guys again. It's hard to narrow it down.
Yeah, it's very tricky. My arguments here, like Connors, I think, is another great play just because anytime we can have an approach golf course, we want some Corey Connors. But surprisingly, he's third off the tee in this field. So he's actually hitting it very well off the tee, which helps with the approach, obviously. He's ninth in the par fours, 4 to 450. 10th on 175 to 200 approaches, 17th on par fives, 9th around. Just does it all well right now. Current form is ridiculous for Corey Conners. And even here, it's like not great finishes, 44th, 31st the last 2 years, but 12th and 4th the years before that. So he can go low here. So like Conners, love Henley, I'm with you, because like especially a bounce back, 12th, 19th, miscut, 9th the last 4 years here. That's pretty good. He can definitely get back into play. Love Shane Lowry. I'm going to continue to love Shane Lowry. I'll play him because he doesn't get as much love as I think he deserves when it comes to ownership. So we'll go there. Fleetwood, I guess if I had to talk somewhat off of this one, it'd be Fleetwood just because one of these guys could probably win. It's probably not Tommy. That's what it comes down to.
Probably right.
Go bet him to win now. But that's kind of, if I had to pick my boy, he's going to be good. He's going to be in the top 10 coming into the Sunday. and then he'll finish like 15th. And then you'll be like, okay, that's not what I wanted from $9,400. That's where I'd feel with him, and maybe he'll prove me wrong. Spieth is an awesome play. Like, I was pumped when I saw I had Jordan Spieth in some lineups last week, and he was 10%. He did not get the, hey, he crushes Augusta spike. I was shocked, and it felt good for like seven holes. and then he went full Jordan Spieth for the next rest of the tournament, basically. And he finished like 200, I think, in the end. It was all said and done. But, man, what a roller coaster of emotions with Jordan Spieth, as usual. So no problem if you want to go there. Does play great at this course, of course. And then J-Day, I think I'm with you, could be sneaky. And Hovland, again, I agree with everything you said there. Seems like he's coming into form right now. What he did in Augusta shocked me as well, coming off the win prior to that. Like, why can't he win at $9,000 and get going again? So absolutely loaded range. If I had to pick someone not to play, I'd say Tommy Fleetwood. But you can make very valid arguments for everybody in this range. All right, 8K for you. Got Sepp at 88. I will go back to that death trap. Sung JM at 87. Bobby Mack at 85. Wyndham at 84. Berger at 83. Min-Woo Lee at 82. Matt McNeely at 81. And Jay Rose at 8,000. Who do you like here?
Yeah, I mean, I do think Sepp, going back to him, especially the course history, fifth. He did miss the cut in 23, but third in 22. So he's played well around here for sure the last couple times, minus the missed cut. Has Sungjae figured it out?
Every time I want to think that, then it goes away. But I, on a course like this, I'll get sucked right back in. Given I remember, usually not the best when it comes to Pete Dye. But,
12th, 7th, 21st, 13th in his last four starts at this golf course.
That's not bad. Yeah, I'll probably get sucked right back in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then 5th last week, obviously. But before that, hadn't done shit. So it's just crazy, man. Golf is such an insane game. The fact that we think we can predict this is even dumber. Daniel Berger at 8,300. He's never missed a cut here. Of course, there is no cut, but 21st, 13th, 3rd, his last three starts, which his last start was in 2022, but 21st last week, 30th, 20th, 15th, the last four events, pretty solid for him. And then, I mean, I want to kind of click on Min-Woo, but he missed the cut last year. Mav missed the cut last year as well, but had some success here before, so I would lean Mav over Min-Woo, but I think for me, really, it's Sungjae and Daniel Berger in this range.
Yeah, I'll go right back to the Sepp string. Even with a bad trunk slam last week, 10th in the model, 3rd in approach. He's 3rd from 175 to 200. He's 4th in the par 5s, 3rd in opportunities gained for a no-cut event. At least get the opportunities in there. 8th in DK scoring. Rack up the points. You could finish freaking 40th for all I care if you rack up the points. So Sepp at 88, I'm with him. Sungjae at 87, I'm with you on that as well. He's first around the green over the last 24 rounds in this field. That's pretty shocking as well from one Sungjae. So I like him. Bobby Mack has not played here. Bobby Mack is 15th in my model. Bobby Mack sucked at Augusta, but so some other really good golfers. Bobby Mack plays really well at courses like this. So 4th off the tee. He's 11th on the shorter par 4s. He's 10th in opportunities gained. I will find my way back to some Bobby Mack at $8,500. And then Berger at 83, we'll talk about him more later. And I'm really interested in Justin Rose again. I hope he can still – I think he'll still be fine after that kind of letdown on Sunday, first-round leader to letdown on Sunday. It's kind of crazy to think about. But Rose at 8,000, like, he's first in the par 5s in this field. Let that sink in for a second. That's pretty crazy talk. He's 70th in scrambling. That's not great when the field's 71. So that's not ideal, but really good par 5 scoring. Putter's been pretty darn good. The greens aren't tricky here. And he's 10th in DK scoring in this field over the last 24 rounds. So give me some Rose at 8,000, and I'll take my chances there. 75 to 79, it goes McCarthy and Rye all the way down to Michael Kim and Bud Cauley. Who do you like here?
Sure, start with Rye at 7,900 there. 48th here last year, coming off a 27th at the Masters, was playing some solid golf. He missed the cut to Houston Open, but before that was 14th, 11th, 4th. So playing really well. JT Poston, I feel like, is a great GPP play just because 5th last year at this event, missed cut the year before that, 3rd the year before that, missed cut, 8th, 6th.
It's pretty impressive. I mean,
so if he's making the cut, dude's finishing inside the top 10. He hasn't missed a cut since the Sony Open beginning of January. And then Brian Harman at 7,600.
Yep.
Has had some success around here, 12th and 7th in his last two starts at this event. Coming off the 36th place finish last week, he had a terrible Saturday, shot 77, but won the Texas Open shooting 75 on Sunday. So, yep, that's where I'm at in that range.
Yeah, I'm on those guys. Like I posted a lot for the exact reasons you mentioned. When he sticks around during the week and he plays very well here. Love Brian Harman, 27th in my model. He is a Pete Dye guy. Like when they used to do the match play, there's a reason he was always in like the final four, at least in the semifinals there. Loves that type of golf. Loves the dog leg setups. A lot of Pete Dye courses kind of favor the lefty swing, if that makes sense to anybody. So
you just play a fade instead of a hook. There's a lot of dog leg lefts, yes.
Yeah, so it helps. A lot of the Pete Dye are dog leg lefts. That's how he kind of operates his courses. So very good for Brian Harman at 76. Siwoo is another guy. Big-time Pete Dye guy. He's 25th in my model. Very good around the green right now. Now, the thing with Siwoo is we're on the Siwoo train right now of the struggle bus for Siwoo Kim. Miscut at Valero, miscut at Houston, 38th, 19th at the players in the API. At this event, though, it's 18th, miscut, 42nd, 33rd. So I think GPP-wise, Kim is in play at 76. And then Bud Cauley hasn't played here in a while since he missed the cut in 2020. But Bud Cauley is coming off a fifth, a fourth, and a sixth in his last three golf tournaments. I will just keep riding that train at $7,500 to see when it comes off the tracks. 74 to 7,000, you got Binion, Davis Thompson, all the way down to Willie Z and Sam Burns. What do you like here?
Yeah, it's kind of a small range, but yeah. Harris English at 72, 28th, 63rd in his last two starts at this event, coming off a 12th place finish at the Masters, 18th in Houston, and then Tom Hogue at 7,100. Similar to JT Poston, although the finishes aren't as good, but 18th, miscut, miscut, 25th, miscut, miscut, 55th. So, but I mean, coming in here, dude, 14th at the Masters, 5th, 3rd in his last three starts. Pretty solid for Tom, and you know we know how well he hits the ball when he's on, and so yeah, I think those two would be the guys that I'd be targeting in that range.
Yep, with those, I like Binion at $7,400, coming in decent form right now, so I don't mind attacking him at a discount per se. Harris English at 72, I've written down here. Tom Hogue at 71, absolutely love Hogue. I keep playing him freaking everywhere, so I'll jump on those ones with you. 6K range, who do you like?
Gerard at 6,600. Talked about him the last few weeks. Second, his last time out the Texas Open. Ninth at the Houston Open. Rio at 6,300. Just complete GBP darts here, but he's played well his last couple times out. And then last but not least for me, Matt Kuchar at 6,000. Just simply the course history. 19th in 23, third in 22. Obviously won this event a long time ago. Finished second another time, so... I think Kuchar's got some GPP equity at $6,000 too.
Yeah, I got Glover at 69. He's 24th in my model. You know, he missed the cut at the Masters, but an eighth and a third at the Valspar and the Players. We know he has win equity. Technically, he's 33rd here last year, missed cut 48, 33rd, 21st. So not any high finishes here, but definitely a guy that can get there in due time. So 69, I like him. I had Gerard at 66 as well. P. Raj at 65. Recent form 56, 52nd. Not what you want to see, but course history rise for P. Raj. We got a fifth last year at 19th the year before. Something about shorter coastal courses with Patrick Rogers as a thing for him. Eric Cole at 64. If you want Boomer Bust GPP, he finished 33rd here last year, but coming in with a 26th at Valero, 15th at Houston, 12th at the Valspar. Very good run for Eric Cole, who we know can be very, very streaky at times, but he's not a bad tournament play if you're going down low here. And then I had Ryu, who I like a lot at 63, like you said, and Cooch at 6,000. I agree with you. Like, he's played 19th, 3rd, and 18th the last three times here, and he's not playing horrible golf. 18th at the Valero, 42nd at the Players, and that one stung. I had a nice T20 or T30 on him, and he trunk slammed at the end. To blow that one. So I don't mind Kuchar at the bare minimum, 6,000. I think it's a pretty solid play. All right, let's recap things here. 10K and above, not named Scotty Scheffler.
I'll say Cantlay.
I will go with Xander on that one. All right, 9K range.
I'm going to say Corey Connors.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised he's not in the 10K range, honestly. Give me there's some decisions to be made here. Give me Russell Henley, 8K range.
I don't love it, but I'm going to say Sungjae.
I'm going to go back to Steph Straka on that one. 75 to 79.
Harmon.
I will go with Bud Cauley. 7K to 74.
English.
I will go with where my Tom Hoag. 6K range.
Gerard.
I'll go Ryu. Ryu would be my guy in that range.
All right. He's got one name on this pod, and that's it.
Yes, he's a Ryu. I think it's less offensive that way, hopefully.
R-Y-O, yes.
Yes.
That's probably not even how you really pronounce it, but anyway.
Probably not. Probably not. I'm an idiot like that.
Well, I say it too, so.
I hear it everywhere, so we're all wrong is what it comes down whatever. To. I'll speak with on the broadcast on Sunday, they're calling Oberg Iceberg. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did hear that. Yeah, and God. Then he proceeded immediately to right just absolutely bunker. Crush a putt on 17, 15 feet by, yep. And then the absolute worst mess I've ever seen of 18 besides Brooks Koepka, which they didn't show on TV.
Yeah. All right. It was amazing the timing on that one.
It really was.
It was like just the perfect just. It's like
they started calling him.
It's like jinxing the free throw shooter. Like, oh, he hasn't missed one in 15 attempts.
I was watching him with my wife, and he's like, "What did they?" Because my wife thinks he's the most handsome guy ever. Wants to marry him.
I could see how most women would at this point. Yes,
and so I gave her shit about that all weekend long. And so he was close there, and he's like, "You said he didn't have a chance to win," and then they were calling him Iceberg, and then he three jack 17, and then makes an absolute disaster of 18. And I'm like, "I told you he had no chance to win."
Yeah. You should listen to me. I do a podcast.
Right.
All right. So who are the three guys you would start out a GPP lineup with?
I got Connors, Gerard, and I'm going to throw Sugar Shane Lowry bounce back in there.
Sugar Shane. I'm going to go with Xander. I'm going to go. He's been a no-cut prince. So I'm going to go Xander on this one. Give me Sepp Straka and Tom Hoagie. You can fit in Corey Connors too if you want, but we said three, so those three.
Yep.
All right, who you got winning this thing? Because
I'm gonna.
You know, it was pretty top heavy last year in these events.
It was, and it's probably not a bad idea to bet Scotty at 3.6 to 1, which is
God
insane. But I don't have any good, and I don't have any way to I don't have any good college basketball bets. That's over with to. Parlay that up to make that a better
NBA playoffs or hockey playoffs.
I couldn't tell you about the NBA. I'm not an NBA guy. I like the 20 range there though. Cantlay at 20, Connors at 22, Lowry at 25, and then Henley at 25 as well. And then I got a top 20. I'm gonna put on Gerard at 3 to 1.
I almost put Gerard on my top 20 list. I kept it between 100 and 200, but I got Berger at plus 125. It's kind of boring. I got Harmon at plus 170. And Hoagie at plus 200. So I don't mind those. But there was one that I think – let me get your thoughts on this. If people want – it's gambling for a reason. But, dude, you could – where did he go? Did he move? Oh, I guess Kuchar's plus 300 at the top 20.
Yeah, yeah. He's on that
that's same tempting, range. Just looking at his history here. And it's 71 golfers, so it's basically the top third.
Right, yeah.
It's tempting, very tempting. I'm with you. I also get the hesitation because it's Kuchar, and he has this moment where he looks old.
You know what's weird is they have two different top 20 boards. So the tournament lines, if you click the top, including ties.
Yeah.
But then if you click top finish.
Oh,
and then you look at those odds on the top finish.
Yeah.
Why are those different?
That's a great – maybe there's no ties. I don't know. That's a great question. I never even noticed.
Yeah, that's what it's got to be. You're exactly right. Yes, top finish including ties, and then top finish then doesn't include the ties. So,
yeah. Interesting though.
Well, I bet Gerard not including ties, so I'll probably get screwed on that. He'll probably finish in a 5-way tie for 20th, and I'll get no money.
That would suck. That would really suck. But all right, we'll wrap it up there, my friend. Any final thoughts on the week? We got the. We got the Zurich next week, and so we will not be with you. We'll be back with you. I think it's a Texas event the following week.
Next week or the week after?
Next week, Zurich, but then we'll be back. We'll skip Zurich. We'll be back the following week, which is, I feel like it's a Texas event.
You got RBC. We didn't talk about Punta Cana this week.
Jesus.
Zurich, and then the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson. Yeah.
Byron Nelson's. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is back to Texas for that one. Usually a fun event though. the
CJ Yeah, that's an all right event. And then you got the Truist Championship, which is
that's the old Quail.
Yes, and they're going to play that in
Philadelphia
at the Cricket Club.
Oh, that's why we haven't talked about Punta Cana. It's not even up on DK yet.
Yeah, imagine that.
Well done, boys. Well done. That's got a good field. Like Keith Mitchell and stuff's in that one. Like, yeah. I'm not even kidding. It's
probably Wes Bryan. Yeah.
Well, if they let him back. Like Keith Mitchell's the favorite at plus 1,400. We got Smalley, Ben Griffin, Harry Hall, Thorburn, Sheamus, Rico Hoey. Like, it's not a bad, at least top-heavy field.
That's at least the guys that we know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I won't scroll down too far because we might get lost real quick, but that is them. But, yeah, we'll wrap it up there. Any final thoughts, my friend?
Sounds good, man. I'm good to go. Appreciate you.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. We talked a little bit longer than usual on the Masters because it was absolutely epic, and you're welcome because we're going to talk a lot more. So we wrapped it up when we did, but good luck this week. We'll take next week off. We'll be back with you guys the week after to get you ready for the Byron Nelson, the CJ Cup at the Byron Nelson. Make sure you check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick. Catch you guys. The show goes on all night till the morning we dream.